Are you a cake maker running a business or a business owner making cakes? Hi, I'm Bronya.
Hi, I'm Sammy, and welcome to the business of cake making.
Hello, and welcome to the business of cake making with Sammy and Bronya. This week's guest is the wonderful Lex Fleming, who's a wedding photographer. She also runs the Wedding Breakfast Club, which is a community of wedding suppliers. And she also does business mentoring for small wedding businesses.
Right, hello, Lex. Thank you very much for joining us.
That's all right. Thank you for having me.
That's quite all right. So just start off by... just quickly do a quick introduction of yourself. Who are you and
where'd you come from?
Who are you, where'd you come from, and why are you talking to us today?
So my name is Lex. I predominantly am a photographer, currently a wedding photographer, and I also run something called the Wedding Breakfast Club, which is for wedding suppliers of all kinds to get together and be good friends.
Fantastic. Now I first met you at Wedding Breakfast Club. And I remember sitting next to you, and we were going through a bit of a rebrand at the time, and you turned around to me and went, so who's your ideal client? And in my head I thought, well, I know who my ideal client is, but the minute you asked me, I was like, oh, I don't know, who is my ideal client? Because I think everyone knows who they are. But, and that was kind of my introduction to you. I was like, well, who's your ideal client? And I'm like, oh my God, this woman's making me think about things.
So. I think because I've been doing ideal client stuff for so long, and the first time it was introduced to me, it blew my mind. And so I do it quite a lot to newbies. People that come, and I think it's either like, a fight or flight situation, like you either stay after that conversation or you never come again.
it kind of did blow my mind a little bit, and then obviously I've listened to a couple of seminars that you've done on ideal client, and
my favorite topic, because I do feel like it has to be the foundation of your portfolio, of your marketing plan, of your branding, your website. It is what you draw every single answer to in your business. And I think businesses that don't have a client avatar or an ideal client, that who are they talking to? Who are they trying to get to book?
So let's get right back to basics.
Yep.
What is an ideal client?
So one thing with ideal clients is everything that you've been teaching yourself as an adult for the last like 20, 30 years has to kind of be undone, and you are going back to stereotypes a little bit. So an ideal client is someone that you, an avatar that you have in your head, that is basically, here's the shortcut of it, is the richer, better, funnier, just all round better person of yourself. So it's someone that you aspire to be, it's someone that you aspire to work with, and that person that you want to answer to all of your marketing sort of point touch points. So an ideal client for me is someone that I want to work with every single day, and is the reason I speak the way I do in my business.
That's really cool. Excellent. It's like working with someone that you'd like to live with, maybe, in a way, that you could hang out with.
That's precisely it. I think also, coming from a wedding photographer point of view, I am spending 10, 12 hours with my ideal client. And if I'm going into that wedding with even an ounce of dread or just not feeling like I'm gelling with them, it's going to be a really long day. So and equally for like you guys as cake makers, you have to be able to understand each other. You have to understand that, you know, what they're saying as pink is actually like this certain shade of pink, or this reference to a book, or whatever it is that they're coming and saying to you. I think when you're working with your ideal client, it is just like you're talking from the same page.
Yeah, I have got a client at the moment who I just can't click with her. So I can totally understand, you just And I think I should have said at the beginning, no, I don't want to book you.
Yep.
But I didn't. I just carried on. So every time I speak to her, which is about once or twice a week, it feels like, I'm like,
so. Yeah, I suffer anxiety. I am a very Marmite sort of person as well. So it's really important that A, my clients know what I'm about so that they're not going to grow to hate me in 6 months. But I also ask a question on the inquiry page that sets the tone of what sort of person they are. I nip it in the bud straight away. If I ask a question of what's your favorite film, and if someone was to put a really like can I swear,
yes,
yeah,
okay, really shit film, then there's absolutely no way I'm shooting their wedding. So I ask what their favorite film is, and usually because I've done my marketing right, they're putting films that I love, and then we can talk about that film. But on the rare occasion, and I'm talking very rare occasion now, that they put, like, I've had someone put White Chicks as their favorite film. I was like, of all the films that have been made, White Chicks is your favorite. I was like, yeah, I'm booked. Wow. Sorry.
Yeah. We're not going there.
Yeah.
So how do we get to know our ideal client? How do we, you say they're the, like, the better version of ourselves.
Yeah. So I have a system that I do, which is 100 questions for your ideal client. And you ask these 100 questions. And by the end of it, you've been answering as your ideal client. You have to, what sort of wedding would you have? And you're answering basically from a point of view of like, what sort of wedding you want to be at or you want to work for. Right. And you build this big picture. But the one area I feel like businesses really fall down on is just asking wedding related questions. And I think as suppliers, we need to remember that they are people before they were a bride and groom.
Right.
And that they have this whole other host of interests they had before this 2 years or 1 year of planning a wedding. So it's important to also bring in all of the, like, what sort of films you listen to, what shoes do they wear, what magazines do they read, what books do they read. And by doing all of that, you can make references about those things in your marketing plan. And for a bride or for a groom that is sat on Instagram and is scrolling and scrolling through the same pair of wedding shoes and the same type of veil, to then see a post that's saying, oh, I've just finished this book.
Yeah.
You're standing out from the rest.
Yeah. So it's looking to sort of like the more personal side, not just the they're getting married side.
I think that's really important. I mean especially for my brand. For other brands it might not be. Maybe you don't want to bring in too much of your own personality into it, or you're a kind of, it's not a personal brand if you're a name and there's 20 people working for your brand. However, you can still have an ideal client because it's who your like branding's talking to, it's who you're working.
I was gonna say, no matter how big your brand is or how big your business is, you still need to be talking to a certain person, don't you?
I feel like the best example I can give of this is the difference between, so for example, a few years ago I was going to New York, do I want to fly with British Airways or do I want to fly with Virgin? You look at both their brands, you look at also both their planes, you look at
the free everything. Gift you get when you fly with them.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because that is what swayed me with flying with British Airways or with Virgin.
Yeah, which gives me a free alcohol.
Yes.
Which one is going to give me non-stop whiskey? So that's like, for me, a prime example of how they will target different types of people. So they've got their ideal clients.
And why do we need an ideal client?
So the best comparison I have of this, as you can understand, I love an analogy. The one thing I always say to suppliers that come to me for mentoring is, imagine that your marketing plan is a garden hose. If you don't have an ideal client, you're turning your hose to the sprinkler. And so you're just going to sprinkle bits of information and bits of content and images and ideas, and you're just spraying this whole garden handful of people. So everyone's just getting a little bit of information. When you have an ideal client, you're turning that hose to a jet and you're sending everything that you have in your business. You're not wasting a single drop of content and you're aiming it exactly at your ideal client.
So to say, I know a lot of cake makers turn around and go, well, anyone who wants a cake.
Yeah.
So that's just so not right, basically.
I think with something like this, I am a firm believer that niche is better. I'd rather aim at an audience of 500 people. I only need 30 of them.
Right.
Whereas if you're aiming at, did you get engaged in the last year? You're aiming at millions of people.
Yeah.
How on earth are you going to stand out from the crowd?
Yeah. And then you end up with people that, like Sammy says, you don't always want to be inboxing you anyway.
Exactly. And that is also, it's a two-way street, I think, when it comes to that. I do think it's as important for our couples to have suppliers that totally get them, totally get their idea, has the same sense of humour, has the same vision.
Yeah.
And then equally for us, I think it's important that if we have to be working at 2 a.m. in the morning, we want to be working for couples that we like.
Yeah.
Which is funny because we were saying exactly the same on our last episode about niching down. You want to be making a cake at 2 o'clock in the morning that you want to be making.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing. You want to be making a cake for a couple that you like at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Exactly. I'm a firm believer of that. You know, when I first started out as a wedding photographer, I mean, what really put me off when I... because I've been a photographer for many years and I always got asked, do you do weddings? And I was like, no, they're all like ivory and lace and that is so not me. And then within a couple of weddings, I was like, oh, there's this whole other side of weddings that's actually really fun and I can get on board with this. And that's when I realised that...
I'm going to take a step back, actually, because I didn't ask you right at the beginning how you got into weddings. So maybe we should chat about how you became a wedding supplier.
So I've been a wedding photographer. I've been a photographer since I was 16. I was a music photographer for just over 5 years. And then at 22, realised that I couldn't pay rent doing that. So I had to find another job. My first business I started when I was 21, 22 called Rockabetti Studios, and it was a 1950s pin-up studio. So you'd book a makeover, you'd be turned into a pin-up, and then you'd learn how to pose like a pin-up, and then you'd have some pictures, which was a load of fun. And never say never, you know, I might bring it back in the future. But for that point in time, I was still massively naive about business. My profit margins were hilarious and it just wasn't going to work. So I sort of, after that failed business, I was sort of like, what do I want to do? Briefly expanded the studios into hen parties and doing like makeover hen parties, and that was kind of the first introduction of realizing that people were having vintage weddings. It was when vintage weddings were huge. And that was sort of the first taste of like, oh, people are having like fun weddings. It's not just lace.
Yeah.
And like,
tradition.
Yeah. And that was the first taste. And then it was a friend of a friend that messaged me and said, we're getting married. We've only got this as a budget. Are you up for it? And at the time, I really needed the money. So I said, yes. And it was at that wedding that I was like, hey, this could actually be quite fun. It doesn't need to be like awkward and uncomfortable. So I think that was 2013. And then that's when I went away and was like, right, if I'm doing this, I want fun.
I had a different wedding. You would have probably enjoyed my wedding.
Oh, you would have loved Sammy's wedding.
I had a fancy dress wedding.
Oh my God, how amazing.
It was brilliant. We had my husband dressed up as Spider-Man. My son was Spider-Boy and my youngest was a baby then and he was Spider-Baby. We had Henry VIII, belly dancer Zorro, mods and rockers.
Amazing.
It was absolutely fantastic. But yeah.
I like couples that want to put a ring on it, but they're not too, they don't take the whole pomp of it very serious. Whereas another photographer wants the 6 grand wedding dress and the veil that's as long as the garden and all this sort of stuff. So there are suppliers for the couples. I do feel like there's no point me taking up the couples that want tradition and me pretending that I like tradition too.
I
definitely go a mile extra for my couples because by the time it's got to them walking down the aisle, they're my mates. Like, they've been up to a year in the booking process. I've seen things that they referenced in our consultation call. I'll send them ideas from other suppliers. If they were having a super traditional wedding, I've got no understanding of that world. I would be able to send them stuff.
So once we've sat down and got to know our does your ideal client, do they have names? Have you named yours?
I haven't named mine, but I've got a pretty, I can sort of see them. I base mine off like a couple of past clients that in a different world I'd love to be their mates.
So now you know them, how do you go about utilizing, how do you use your ideal client in everything you're doing in your business?
So again, I think the other common mistake we sometimes do as suppliers, as creatives as well, is we ask friends and family for like opinions. And I've been the worst for this. I've sometimes asked friends like, what do you think of this brand, or you know, what do you think of this photo shoot I've done? And of course they're going to go, it's terrible. Why would you do that for a wedding company? And then when you realize that you have this ideal client, you can suddenly start basically, it sounds a bit mental, but asking your ideal client these questions. So in a really broader sense, it's what I love about Insta stories now, because it's full of my ideal clients. It's full of like 4 years worth of past clients that still follow me. It has all of my future clients on it as well. And I can say, like, what do you guys want to see this week? Do you want to see, you know, if I do this photo shoot, do you want to see it? So I'm asking directly to my ideal clients what they want to see, and not to my, bless her heart, my 60-year-old mum who hasn't got a clue.
Yeah.
I mean, we love her, but...
Your mum and dad are amazing. Okay, I'm just going to interject here. Lex has got her own podcast, and on the first episode, she interviewed her parents, and... it was just epic. It was so cool.
I'm very lucky. They are awesome parents, but it's a real struggle most days.
But even I got the impression that even you talking to them on your podcast, you were talking to your ideal client even with that.
I think I have been doing ideal client for so long. And I think it comes back to like a self-esteem thing as well. Like I'm so confident in... not myself, but in knowing that I'm talking to people and that there is going to be someone out there that doesn't like it, and that's absolutely fine, and there's going to be a whole bunch of people that are going to like it. So I feel like I've just nurtured, it's taken a long time, this isn't something that happens overnight,
especially
if you've been shooting town hall, you know, registry office beige weddings, and now suddenly you want to do Tuscany weddings. That's a long process to kind of swap over. But if you know now, you can start the like the transition, I think.
Do you ever turn down a client? Do you say no thank you?
Yes, I have. And it was excruciating, but it really, really was for the best for them and for me. It came down to, they were asking me to Photoshop their photos. I don't want to go into details, but it was around like the bride and her appearance. And it just isn't my ethos. I don't stand for that. And also I really like couples that don't take themselves too seriously, and it's about documenting their fun day, whether they get absolutely pissed or, you know, whatever they decide to do. And the idea that I would then be on edge, that I'm going to photograph the bride in a certain way, it just wasn't going to work for me creatively. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't fair for them, for me to take the job and then kick up another stink post-wedding.
Yeah.
When I hadn't photoshopped it as much as they wanted. So I did turn around to them and just say, look, I really don't think that I am the right photographer for you.
Mm.
I think what you're asking is valid. It's just not what I do.
Yeah. If that happens, do you go on to recommend somebody else? Do you have like a portfolio of other photographers that you can recommend?
Yeah. I'm in a couple of referral groups that have quite similar styles to me. Mm-hmm. And in that instance, I just went in and said, they're a lovely couple. Their wedding's going to be wicked. They want photoshopping. I don't do it. Who can fulfill this?
Uh-huh.
When you're just sort of like deciding on your ideal client, or not deciding, but when you're getting to know your ideal client,
yeah,
or when you were getting to know your ideal client, were there times when you did take on people that that weren't your ideal client, and then you kind of phase out? Because obviously, if people are starting out and just doing this, they're worried about losing their income, you know?
Absolutely. It took me a good 2 years, 2-3 years to kind of really identify who that was. At first, when I first started, I went on it on a purely visual ideal client, so they're going to have colored hair and they're going to have this sort of wedding. And then I quickly realized that there's also this ideal client about their personality and their mm-hmm. outlook on their wedding. So they may, to an outsider, look like it's a very traditional wedding, but they're not to get all like woo-woo about it, but like their soul, I feel like who they are was still the same as my ideal client. They still didn't really give a shit about tradition, but they were they were having this church wedding and quite a traditional reception,
but with their own personal touch on it.
Yes, and their own attitude towards it all. They didn't take it all too seriously.
Yeah.
They didn't worry about favours. They, you know, all these similar traits. So that's when I quickly realised that you can have ideal clients personality-wise and then ideal clients aesthetically as well. But yeah, oh my God, I still, a few slip through the net.
They con you.
Yeah, they don't warn me. I think it's important to have them. I think as suppliers, we always worry about complaints and what that's going to do to our business and all this sort of stuff. I've had two complaints in 6 years.
Wow.
And all that has done is... Are you saying well because that's high?
No, well, that's really... that's good.
I mean, I've probably had more, but they're too scared to tell me. I don't know. I feel like I needed to have them to learn a new approach to setting expectations. Both were down to me not setting expectations. I think that's also, as an, you know, I'm doing this in bunny quotes, but as an alternative wedding photographer, I think my website can seem super, super alternative, and the portfolio I put out there. And then it does unfortunately come down to, if you're not having that aesthetic in your wedding, I'm not a magician. I can't magic up smoke bombs. I can't magic up smoke bomb images if you've not bought smoke bombs.
Yeah.
So both have always come down to setting expectations. And I think that's also, I mean, I feel like that's an episode on its own, setting expectations with clients.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Sammy and I, when we had the shop in Romsey, we had a couple of complaints there.
Right.
And you learn so much.
So valuable.
So much. And even my first wedding cake, I think it was my third wedding cake, that collapsed in the back of a car.
Oh,
I learned technically how to make a wedding cake.
Yeah.
So many lessons in that one day. But going back to customers, we had a couple of complaints when we were at the shop. And our learning curve, it just goes skyrocketing at that point.
Yeah.
And that point, and you go, that's the kind of customer I never want again. And I should have known that. Yeah.
Exactly.
I should have known that when they walked in the door.
Yeah, I think it's also, That's just it. It's so valuable to get them. Not like you must get a complaint a year. Ideally, you will never get a complaint, but
keeps you on your toes.
It does. I think that's exactly it. You can get quite comfortable. You can get quite I think comfortable is the right word. You feel like you're just nailing every single wedding, and then someone slips in and they're like, actually, we hated you on the day. This was one of the complaints I had. We hated you on the day.
Personal.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It was a really funny complaint anyway. But we didn't like you on the day. You didn't get any full length pictures of me in my dress. Well, yeah, I asked you to go outside and you said, no, it's raining. So what do you want me to do? But it was still my fault because the client wasn't happy.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, they probably should never have been your client, but that's...
Yeah, I don't know how it's
the lesson. Yeah, that's the lesson. Has your client changed? Has your ideal client changed?
Yes, I think as I've got older and I've had more experience of the industry. As I say, when I first started, my ideal client was like, she was a goth in the 2000s. She won't wear a wedding dress. And was really, really alternative, covered in tattoos.
Yeah.
And now I feel like my ideal client now is like, they just don't take it all very seriously. They have found the person they want to be with. They want to put a ring on it. They want their friends and families there to witness it. And then they want to get mightily drunk. That is what my ideal wedding is now. Whether you're doing that in a 10-15 grand venue or you're doing that in the local pub, I don't care.
Yeah.
So it's not about necessarily the money they're spending even then.
It's just
who they are as a person. Excellent.
Yeah, I do. I mean, I think that is where it has changed. It's not necessarily about us that, you know, like, don't get me wrong, I get really excited when the bride messages me and says, I'm wearing a blue dress. And I'm like, heck yes, send me that right now. But I'm not so caught up on the aesthetic. I think there are a lot of, I can only speak for a photographer, but there are a lot of photographers that have this aesthetic. I mean, I've heard horror stories of photographers interviewing couples, and if they don't look nice, they won't book them. How really? Mental is that?
Yeah,
that's quite scary.
That's taking ideal client like way too far.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is quite scary.
Yeah.
Gosh.
You know, the term bridezilla, of course no one's going to have bridezilla as their ideal client.
No.
But I feel like bridezilla's... So I do feel like couples turn into a bridezilla when they are not working with the right people.
Yeah, yeah. And to be honest, that's the complaint. One of the complaints that Sammy and I had, I would term her as a bridezilla. Yeah, right. We should never have been working with her in the first place.
Hit the nail on the head there, definitely.
It's such a shame, isn't it? Because for them, it's probably nothing. You know, for them, it's their big day. But it's so damaging to, like, your self-esteem. Like, it took me probably 6 months to really get myself out of the funk after the last complaint.
Yeah.
Because I'm so my brand... And the complaint was, we didn't like you on the day.
That's quite harsh.
Really harsh.
It's quite harsh.
But
I think the thing is that with wedding supplies, wedding supplies, we're all quite small suppliers. We tend to be, we are our brand. It's not often that there's more than sort of like two or three even in a company of wedding suppliers. Mm. And I think also because it's a one-off for the couple, it's a one-off supply, isn't it?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. You don't get any repeat custom in this industry.
No.
It'd be weird if you did.
Yeah, I mean, we get christening cakes sometimes.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Oh, you know, and I get family shoots or I get baby shoots and things like that, but...
Yeah, but you don't get another wedding out of it.
No. Very rarely.
Very rare. Is there anything we should have asked you, but we haven't?
I don't know. I feel like for a lot of people, like Bronnie, you mentioned it briefly about how there are some cake makers that are like, well, anyone that's getting married. And I've had that conversation a lot of times with different suppliers when I've sort of sat down and just be like, just so I ask it to every person I speak to because it will affect the advice I give them. So, you know, This is my favourite question that people come to Breakfast Club and ask. Should I do a national wedding fair? And I immediately fire back and say, is your ideal client going to that wedding fair? And they look at me like I've shat on their kids at Christmas. It's a look of bewilderment when I ask it. And I just think, but that is what's just happened. You asking a question to a bunch of suppliers is not what we're meant to be doing. You're meant to have this. And no one knows this. So it's not me like ridiculing anyone. But it's really easy when you start to go, I just want weddings.
Yeah.
But once you start kind of going, right, well, I only want festival weddings. Okay, but I want festival weddings in Kent. You have just suddenly unlocked a whole business just with that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's important to at least consider an ideal client, even if you have three. Like, I know companies that have primary and a secondary.
That's quite interesting. So sort of like the ones they really, really want to work with, and then the ones that they'll work with above any others.
Well, it depends what marketing information you're putting out there. It depends what you're posting on Instagram. So if I'm posting like awesome London weddings, that's my primary audience. I want London weddings. But then I'll post festival weddings, or I'll post a destination wedding, and that's going to a totally different type of audience.
Yeah.
So I have to watch the wording I'm saying. So for a London wedding, I'll probably put like, thank fuck it's Friday. Whereas for a destination wedding, I'm assuming there are a different ilk of people, and I'll be a bit more nicer. That's awful to say, but I'll like not swear, and I'll make sure I don't misspell stuff, and you know, like, so
mind your P's and Q's and that kind of thing.
So and this is what it goes back to me saying, like, you have to almost undo all the stereotypes you've been like squashing in your brain and almost revert a little bit back to loose stereotypes of people.
But you, I mean, like with you, and I know with my ideal client as well, gone as far as like introducing your dog to the world, because it's a massive part of who you are and who you want to be working with, you know. So anyone that follows Lex will know who Wednesday is.
Absolutely. I've got a thing on my, I think it's my pricing page, like what's your package price spent on. And so it goes, you know, it's admin, it's your welcome gift, it's turning up on the day, it's this, that, and the other. And then there's a 5% that's Wednesday's filthy cocaine habit. Because I feel like my ideal client will see that and be like, that is hilarious. And Wednesday's been invited to a few of the weddings. I've had a few brides message me and say, can Wednesday come? I'm like, yeah, if she wanted to shit on your dress, she'll come. But I don't think...
Has she been to a wedding?
No, she's not been to a wedding. The one that she got invited to most recently was a festival, like woodland wedding, and it was beautiful. Right. But I know my stress levels with her. She's naughty. She lives up to her name, and she would have been at the M25 before the ceremony had even begun.
So you can't be thinking about her
No, not at all. So even like referencing Wednesday, my ideal clients love dogs, but equally they like pets. So I also have a lot of cat enthusiasts that kind of have their cat, and I love that because they treat the cat the same way as I treat Wednesday. So it's being niche, but not being so niche that me turning around and being like, and if you like cats, you're a dick. It's look at how I baby my dog. Do you baby something? Do you baby a baby? And it's, you know, what you're meant to baby. So I use Wednesday. My ideal clients are into, you know, I drink a lot of coffee. I'm quite passionate about coffee. I like, you know, I collect tattoos, but that's okay if you're just someone that likes looking at tattoos, but you can appreciate the art form of it. They, you know, like, whereas someone else's ideal client likes going to Italy every May, and that's just what they do, and they build that into like their marketing, you know, and their brand. It's just so important to
talk to the right person, then, isn't it? It's just getting through to that right person.
Yeah, I think also by me being a bit like Marmite, like my best example of this is being at a wedding fair, and having a very, very outlandish stand. And it's great because people that look at the stand and think, absolutely no, don't waste my time.
Yes.
Yeah. And those that will walk in and immediately beeline to my stand, it's a pretty high chance that we're going to work with each other.
Yeah.
I mean, most recently I've had a booking where this is so bad. I was quite hungover at one of the last wedding fairs I was at, and I was not by my stand at all weekend. I was sat under a tree drinking coffee. And they emailed and said, we didn't actually get to meet you at the fair, but we saw your stand and someone pointed at you from afar. which I can only imagine what they saw. And they were like, but we just loved your stand, we loved your work, and we loved that you were sat under this tree, so we wanted to email you. So it's
fantastic.
It's just reinforcing all of it. Like, it comes down to branding, the words that you're using on Instagram or your website, the images you're putting out there. It comes to everything for me. And I think if more people did that, they'd be a lot happier with each wedding that they had.
Yeah Perfect. So thank you so much, Lex. Like I say, every time you talk about Ideal Client to me, you kind of blow my mind a little bit. Hope that
you're inspirational. You just made me feel like wow.
I have such a problem with the word inspirational, because
why?
So I used to work in the music industry, and seeing how, I mean, obviously, Sammy, I'm not saying that you're this, but seeing how people react to other people like they're some sort of god really freaked me out. When I was like 18, 19. And I think I've carried that through. So when people like compliment me like that, I'm like, no, because I've got flaws. Everyone has flaws. I'm very
but everyone's got flaws, but if someone can if you can inspire, I mean, let's say the first time you asked me about Ideal Client blew my mind.
Gosh.
And you know, it's like, because I think we all know who our ideal client is, but until you actually sit down and go, shit, yeah, who is that ideal client that you never
it's also scary. I can appreciate, you know, like you brought up earlier about but I need to make money. What if the inquiry comes in and I need the money? That's fair enough. But if you didn't take it and then worked your socks off, making sure that from that point you're talking to your ideal client, who's to say you're not going to book that date with then someone that's an absolute dream?
Yeah.
So I think there's, and that's the problem with what we do. We book so far in advance. I already know what my June next year looks like. And I don't even know what my June this year looks like. So,
who does?
No, it's all a bit. In that sense, it's easy to like feel like you're stuck in a rut. But
yeah.
I feel like as soon as you start actually asking these questions to yourself, who it is that you want to work with, it becomes a little bit more manageable.
Yeah, I have to say my business has changed dramatically since moving back to London and going to Bread and Breakfast Club. And even Sammy said to me, she went, you just talk so differently now.
Oh.
Yeah. I'd say you're happier now than you have ever been in the entire time I have known you, definitely. And I'm very jealous that you have the Wedding Breakfast Club up in London, because there's not really anything here. In Southampton,
we're expanding. Yeah. So just
yes, I know. I've been watching.
Patient, it'll come.
So, do you want to do your publicity bit, Lex? Where do we find you? How do we get hold of you and all that sort of stuff?
So, my wedding stuff can be found at flemingphoto.co.uk, or you can follow me on Instagram, which is Lex Fleming Photo. And if you like the sound of Wedding Breakfast Club, or you want to sort of find out what on earth we've been talking about, or you want to come to one, you can go to suppliers.weddingbreakfastclub.co.uk, or you can follow us on Instagram at Wedding Breakfast Club.
And also, just to say that the activities Lex has been putting on through the COVID-19 crisis have been amazing. I have learned so much.
Good. It's been fun, actually. It's been really fun.
It has been fun. So thank you so much for joining us today.
That's right. Thanks for having me.
Hopefully we will inspire all the cake makers out there to knuckle down and get their ideal client written. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Lex, for joining us on our episode today to chat about Ideal Client. If you would like any of the links, please head over to the daisycakecompany.co.uk website and follow the link for podcast. You'll find all of the links in the show notes, including Lex's podcast, The Apocalypse. Also links to the Wedding Breakfast Club. And if you're interested in her mentoring you, head over to her website and get in touch with her. If you've enjoyed today's episode, please like, share, subscribe, review, whatever you need to do on the listener that you're using. That way more people can hear us, more people can get in touch with us. Also, if you know anyone that is likely to want to listen to this, please do recommend us. Thank you so much for listening. Stay safe, take care, and we'll be with you next time.